Season 2, Episode 2. Welcome back to Play It Loud. I'm Rich.
I'm Ryan.
Thanks for joining us. As always, we are your hosts for Play It Loud.
I just gotta throw out there, I just gotta apologize to everybody. We talked up a big game about how we're gonna be doing whiskey. We're gonna do this
in the last episode. We follow the path every single time.
Yeah, right. And we got so excited to be doing episode one.
We totally forgot. Now the other thing that we have to do, and I want to do this right off the bat. I just thought of this. I didn't think of it. This wasn't planned.
Okay, go on.
You know what I'm doing, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so we talked about Bon Jovi the last time, and I couldn't find it on my phone. And so I sent it to you. So I'm going to do it now.
Oh, don't do it.
No, have to. Okay. Okay. I'm not trying to embarrass him.
No,
not at all.
No, no, I get it.
But the reason I was so adamant about it is because of this. And this is from 2022. This is a year plus ago. Right. So he could have gotten better by now. I don't know. Whatever. But
you don't get younger as the years go on.
Well, oh, is Siri. Okay. This is off of TikTok. And his voice. You'll know. I had no words when I heard this. And it's not the sound quality of the recording. It's
him.
It's awful. It's just bad. Okay, I can't do it anymore. So then I sent you Phil Collins, right?
Yeah, hold on, real quick. I cannot believe people have paid and they didn't reimburse people for their tickets to that show.
Yeah, this is Genesis in 2022, live in London. Now I'm going to set the stage for you. Not only is lyrically it's awful, but he's sitting in an office chair, swiveling back and forth in a sweatsuit. Now, this is fucking Phil Collins we're talking about.
Right.
Legend.
Right.
Right? Legend, Phil Collins. Legend for a solo career. Legend with Genesis.
Yeah.
Reduced to sitting on a stage like a trained monkey, sitting in an office chair in a sweatsuit.
Do you think these guys have ran out of money?
I don't know. I don't blame them. I blame the fans. And let me tell you why.
Okay.
I'm going to do one more.
All right,
one more. I'm going to prove my I'm going to prove my point, because this is what I sent to you yesterday.
Okay.
Now, the sound quality is pretty good, and they've kind of got it still in their 80s or whatever they are. But if you're watching the video that I'm watching, Keith Richards, he looks like an old Keith. Like, Keith Richards always look old,
yeah,
right? But he looks like an old Keith Richards. And Mick Jagger looks like somebody's grandma running around in his black tennis shoes and his long, like, house coat. Not house coat, but house like a blazer. But he just looks like somebody's grandma walking around with his kind of disheveled long hair.
Yeah.
We're going to do an episode.
A full episode.
When is it too... When should they quit touring?
Right.
Right? And so I'll just say this. I think it's the fans, because the fans are like, we want to see them. And I think we should be like, no, we don't want to see them.
You think so?
I do. Why would Def Leppard still be touring?
Have to assume that these guys have put out a concert date and said, let's just see what happens. It sells out and they go, maybe we should do a tour.
Let's do it again.
Yeah.
If it sells out, let's do it again.
It's hard to say no to free money.
Then I blame the fans, because the fans are going out and they're buying the tickets.
Right.
Right. When you know, like, it was clear to me and clear to a lot of people when they saw Vince Neil in a video or TikTok or on Twitter or whatever it was, and he couldn't sing. And they've actually made fun. Like, they've made videos of they put words up on the screen of like what they think he's saying versus the actual lyrics. And it's hilarious. But he can't sing anymore.
Yeah.
And then you have people coming out. It's kind of like the political thing, depending upon who you're looking at for president. But, you know, let's just talk about our current president. It's like he goes out and does something, and then his handlers are like, well, what he really meant was, or he's the best leader.
Sure.
He's the best communicator. Behind closed doors, he's the best. He leads everybody. And I'm like, and John Stewart actually said
I was just going to say
that. He's like, let's video that.
Yeah.
Like, if you have that, show us.
Right.
Okay. The same thing with Vince Neil. Like, if you think he's the best singer when he's behind in a studio somewhere behind the walls that nobody else can see, yeah, put your phone up.
Yeah.
Let's videotape that. Because that's not what anybody else is seeing. They're seeing the clown up on. You remember when Guns N' Roses started touring again? And first of all, Axl Rose blew up like he looked like a fat carrot top.
Yeah.
Okay. And you're like, who the fuck is that? Like, who's singing with Guns N' Roses? And when you found out it was Axl Rose, you're like, no fucking way is that Axl Rose. Now, he's lost some weight. He's sharpened it up. They're actually pretty good now.
Okay.
So he's taken it the other way.
Every time I tried to see them, he never showed. So.
No. It's probably like, I hate to say it, but it's probably like Puddle of Mud.
Yeah, another one.
Right?
Yeah.
Or Fuel. Well, Fuel's been actually touring. They did a pretty good job this year. Who's the other one? I'm always trying to think of Hinder.
Yeah.
Some of those bands that are like,
yeah,
the guy can kind of sing still, so maybe we should go on the road. I just think I blame the fans because they buy the tickets.
Right.
Right. Okay. Now, I didn't go to Motley Crue, Def Leppard, and Poison because I saw Vince Neil sing, and I'm like, oh, that fucking guy's headlining.
Wait, the one in Milwaukee?
No, at Wrigley.
Oh, okay.
At Wrigley Field.
I think that my buddy was
in
like,
Chicago,
I
you
go.
Say Wrigley, everybody knows what you're right. talking about. I'm saying Wrigley Field for the people that aren't in Chicago.
Sure.
But at Wrigley Field, we had tickets during the pandemic.
Yeah.
And it got canceled, and then we came out of the pandemic, 2022, could have seen them. And the seats were really good, like third baseline, really good seats. And we're just like, I don't want to waste 7 hours
sure.
to go see that bullshit. By the way, I saw Def Leppard in 91. Okay.
Peak.
One of the best concerts I've ever been to in the round. We'll talk about that later.
Okay.
About concerts. That's kind of what we're going to be talking about today. Like putting together the best concert. What does it look like?
All right.
Because I've been to, well, I did 23 last year. I've already been to 4 this year. And we're in
month
February.
Two.
Right.
Yeah.
So we do a lot.
Yeah.
Right. We've got a packed summer.
Another lineup.
I've got one this coming next Friday. We're going to see Beartooth, meet and greets with Beartooth. And shortly after that, we've got a slew of them. But we just did Blackstone Cherry. I got the hat on.
Yeah.
Santa Sonia, met them. Very cool. Like Adam. We were up on the rail. It was great. And the third band that was there was Any Given Sin. So, which you and I had seen.
Yeah.
When we went to see Saliva. So, the point of that is, I blame the fans.
Okay.
100%.
I could see that.
Yeah, 100%. But we talked about Bon Jovi.
Yep, that's where it came from.
I just, yeah.
Last wanted to, season one.
We didn't get it because I couldn't find it on my phone. And then, literally, I walked out of the studio. You left. I looked through my phone. I scanned up, like, 4 more days
and there it was.
In our text, and there it was.
Okay.
Yeah. So, first 3.
Let's do it.
And happy hour. And we're going to do happy hour.
We're doing it.
Okay. We're going to get drunk.
You trying to do it now? All right. You start
let's
now.
Let's do first 3 first. So, if you're new to the program, 9 minutes into it, we're just getting started. First 3 is we do a new song, an old song, and an unknown song. Or an unknown artist. A song from an unknown artist. Now, the 3 that we have today, I think if you've ever listened to this program, you're going to know the 3 that we're talking about today.
Yeah.
For sure. So the first one came out about a week and a half ago. Bad Wolves teamed up with Nick Nocturnal and did a song called Octane. Now, the reason I picked this song is because I want to test your...
Yeah, I see you smiling over there.
I want to test your ability to listen through the screaming.
All right, so I want to let you know that I listened to it 3 times.
Ooh.
The first time I was like, I'm not listening to this again.
But the chorus is catchy, isn't it?
The chorus was good. And then, so the song is decent. I didn't like it, so it's not going on my playlist.
Okay.
So I'm going to tell you that right now.
Okay. But then, you did listen to it three times.
So I listened to it three times, and then I go, all right, I think I like it. Maybe this isn't the Nick Nocturnal song that I like. And so then I went to his page, and I ripped through his top five.
Yep.
And it was, when I say I ripped through them, I mean I scooted the bar over like be like, all right, is this something I like? And I'm like, no. What about this one? No.
Okay.
And then I was just like, this isn't my thing.
Okay.
And I get it.
So I will say that because Bad Wolves was in it.
Yeah.
Or, well, let's just be clear. It was DL from Bad Wolves was in it.
Yes.
He helped write it and he sang in it. And so when they say Bad Wolves, let's be honest. I mean, it's you know.
Yeah.
So when I heard this song for the first time, I was like, well, there's a lot of screaming in this song. And I don't think Ryan's going to like it.
And it's not.
But I'm going to make him listen to it because I want him to see if he. I want to see if he can get through the screaming and listen to the chorus, because I'm a big chorus guy. I'm a big melody. I'm a big harmony guy. I'm a big, like, you got to have a hook in there, and it's got a hook in it.
It is
for sure, right? And it's catchy. I'll find myself humming it, and I'm like, yeah, but I'm not humming the screaming parts, right?
Obviously,
there's a lot.
In that song. I would say 2/3 of it are.
I could have done with probably half. I mean. Like, I Prevail does a really good job of having
a good blend
harmony and the chorus, and they've got the hook in there, and then they get a little bit of screaming in there, which is fine. No big deal.
Can do it.
I actually kind of like it. This one, not so much. I could have done with less.
It's aggressive, but that's what he's known for. Because
it hurts your ear screaming.
Yeah, but that's what he's known for, right? It's this deep throat. Just
sure. So you didn't like it.
No,
liked it, didn't like it. Like, you could take it or leave it.
Yeah, I would never. Yes.
It's not something you would listen to on the regular.
No.
But there's a lot of people listening to this and be like, I fucking like that.
Yeah, and I get it.
And you just listen to the hook, if you just listen to the chorus, really good.
Listen, Nick Nocturnal has 578,000 monthly listeners.
That's a lot.
He's revered, right?
There's people that just listen to death metal.
Yeah. I get it.
All day. You remember the movie? It wasn't Deadpool. It was I'm trying to think. Now I'm just drawing.
What happens? What happens in the movie?
So at the end of the movie, the lead character, and I want to say it's not Clint Eastwood. It wasn't a Clint Eastwood movie.
How old is this movie?
Probably 20 years old. Oh, it's from.
Oh, you're there.
Oh, my goodness. He goes. So, guy lives next to a cemetery.
Yeah.
He's a killer.
Okay.
Lives next to a cemetery. Lives with his mom.
Wow.
And so the guy goes in to kind of confront him, walks up the stairs, and there's like death metal playing.
Oh.
Like everything you can think of death metal is like playing and screeching and screaming as he's walking down the halls, and he's trying to find in the different rooms, he's trying to find this guy. And all of a sudden the guy jumps out and they have this fight, and they go outside and they go across the fence and they go into the cemetery. And I forget what name of the movie it is. It'll come to me.
What happened? Now I got to know what happens.
What do you mean? I'm just saying that if you remember that movie, like the death. Oh, I know what it was. It was 8mm. With Nick Cage.
Oh, yes.
Remember?
That is a freaky,
right?
Freaky
and so
movie.
You go. He walks up the stairs, right? And he's trying to find this guy. And that music, that screaming in the back, that people listen to all the time.
That's
a bit much for me.
That is a lot. Yeah.
But there's a whole genre of people that listen.
Love it.
Or a whole group of people that listen to that genre.
Yeah.
So you understand what I'm saying? You saw that movie. I've seen that movie 50 times,
It's honestly a scary, suspenseful...
It's a thriller.
Thriller, yes.
It's a thriller. So I really like that
cringy
movie. Yeah. Like he goes... And Joaquin Phoenix is in that movie.
Yeah.
So he goes out to L.A. to the porn store, basically, and Joaquin Phoenix is like, you know, reading a poetry book by whomever, and he's like, over there, buddy, and then he wants to hire him to kind of get into all the seedy places that they make these snuff films, remember?
Yes.
And so then he trails it right back to this guy who was the machine.
Yes.
Remember? I'm just trying to think.
Yeah, it was pretty good memory.
So with
right
the mask
now.
And the zipper and all that. So this guy was the machine, lives with his mom. Was it New York, Chicago? Maybe it was Chicago. I don't know. Wherever it was, he was living upstairs in his mom's house. His mom goes out for the night or whatever.
Yeah.
So Nick Cage goes up the stairs, and then this record is playing, and it's just screaming. And
I got to rewatch this.
Yeah, it's a good movie. All right. I really liked it. Now, it's a little weird.
Oh, it's cringy. But, it's weird. Yeah. And it's dealing with porn. Well, and
he has to move his family out of the house because they get threatened. And so they're in this little cottage. And
if you like just dirty, thrilling movies, this you might be interested in this.
And these guys kind of portly and... he's kind of balding, and he's got these glasses, and he's in the rain, and the rain's coming down, and it's getting in his glasses, and they're fighting, and you're just like, it's
all right. Don't give any more away. That's a good one.
Okay, if you haven't seen the movie by now,
spoiler alert.
Right.
It's been enough time.
But anyway, all right. So all right. That was the new. Let's go to the.
Wait. Would you listen to it again?
Oh yeah.
Oh, God.
I listened to it 3 times today.
Because you wanted to.
Because I was golfing and it was on my playlist.
Oh my God. Can you imagine putting
to
that? It
was 45 degrees today. Okay. It was supposed to be in the 50s. It was not in the 50s.
It wasn't.
Okay. But it was opening day at the club. It was opening day. Yes. Yes. I belong to a club. It was opening day.
He does it for the pool. Let's be honest.
Actually, I do it because A, I love to golf. B, it's a great write-off for my business. And I can take customers there and
our clients. Makes sense.
And they give me work as well, so it's a win-win.
Doubler.
So I golfed today, and it was fucking cold.
Chicago, fucking baby, cold. In February.
Like, I golfed Monday, so today's Friday.
Is this March?
Today's March 1st. Yeah, we're doing this on March 1st.
That's right.
So I golfed this past Monday, and it was like almost 70 degrees.
Right.
It was warm.
It was worth it while to do it then.
But then it snowed that night. It was 71, Jesus. And then it snowed.
All right,
let's go to the unknown.
Okay.
So the unknown's not really an unknown anymore, but it's kind of an unknown. So we're going to do Citizen Soldier. Now, the reason I'm doing Citizen Soldier now is because we talked about last week, we're going to do an interview with Jake again.
Yeah.
And we're going to see him at Bottom Lounge in April. So they have a new song. Now, obviously, Jake's told us, hey, you know, you can play
stuff.
Go
ahead and play it, yeah.
Right. So I'm going to have it on the
give
background.
It a little bit, yeah.
But this song is called Dead End Life.
Okay.
They have a new song. They have a new album coming out. I think it's called Icarus.
No, that was the last one, wasn't it?
Mm-mm. ICU was the last one.
Oh, that's right. That's right. The times that we've talked to them, I get those conversations get mixed up. You know what was interesting? When he was telling us the story, and I don't know if I can't remember if he was telling us directly or if it was in that show that we saw him in that small room where he was like, you know, sometimes my mom goes, are you okay? Why are you singing about all these things?
That's funny.
And it was like, oh gosh. And
we met his brother too.
Maybe it was his brother. I can't remember.
No, he said it.
Okay.
Yeah, his brother was there too.
And, you know, one of the questions I've got that I'm going to ask him specifically is, how do you choose your albums? Because you almost have a niche of what you like to sing about. How do you choose those specific songs to balance out the album from a piece? Oh, that's cool.
I showed him the album cover for Icarus. It's a sun basically with a winged human in front of it. Icarus.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, ICU was the last one. And then Scarecrow was the one before that, but they do a lot of good album covers, but their music is just really good. It's not, it can get heavy, it can get light, but you know, as a therapist, as a mental health professional, he sings about what he knows
and what he hears about,
right everything's kind of a story
experience
to him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which I get that, but do you think, and maybe we should ask the people in his group, you know, on Facebook, like, does anyone ever feel like there's too much low, right? It's because some of his songs are about the low times in one's life. And this is what I was going back to. We should ask him, how do you balance out an album?
Well, I think he does those songs to relate.
Yeah.
So they can relate to those because they're going through whatever shit they're going through at the time. And so he'll write about that because he's obviously gone through enough of that in his own life, which is, I'm guessing, why he became a mental health professional. Same with Bree.
Bree, right.
You know, she dealt with anxiety and all the other things, and so she wants to help other people with that as well. But all of his, I mean, I've listened to Citizen Soldier for 3 years. Yeah. I haven't heard a bad song yet.
No. Four years, maybe. Definitely haven't.
Their stuff is really good. And live, they're really good.
Yeah.
You know, he's one of those singers where you see him live, sounds the same as he does on the album.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not auto-tuned. It's not, there's no gimmicks. It's him.
Yeah.
But he's got to take care of his voice. Right.
Yeah. He did mention that when we talked to him.
He's got to really take care of his voice.
All right. So what did you think of the song?
I liked it.
Yeah.
Is it one of my favorites? It is not.
No. Same. That's what I had.
But I think it's one of those songs where if you heard it on the radio, I think it's like a radio song.
It's a catchy. Sense? Yeah.
It's got a hook to it. And it's that's kind of the note that I took was it's radio worthy.
Yeah.
Right. So if they played it on the radio, you'd be like, oh, it's catchy, whatever. Is it the most in-depth lyrics that he's ever written? No. Is it the best song I've ever heard out of them? No, but there's a big catalog.
Yeah.
So they've got a lot of good songs.
They've been doing a good job pumping out the music.
Where
we're
ranking there, I don't know. You know, we did I don't know if we did this song, but you know, Nothing More has their new song out, which is if it doesn't hurt. I told Bree we were having a conversation about this on the way back from the San Antonio show. Mm-hmm. And I said, I think it's probably in their top five.
This song?
Nothing more.
Yeah.
And she's like, I don't know about it. So we had a debate. It took 20 minutes.
Sure.
We had a 20-minute debate on a song. Yeah. So tell me we're not passionate about music. But I liked it. I really liked it.
Yeah.
Our old now. Huh. Our old, I think people probably would say to us that we're guilty of not doing enough with really hard rock artists. I was thinking about that the other day.
What are you talking about? We just did Nick Knock Tunnel.
I understand that. Okay. But as a general rule, like a few podcasts ago, we did Off Lights. It wasn't heavy. That's a little poppy.
Yeah.
And so today our old is going to be Five Finger Death Punch.
Solid. I thought you were going to play it.
Blue on Black. No, I'm not going to play it.
No, I know.
But Blue on Black.
So I like that you picked a cover.
Well, I did it on purpose.
Yeah.
Obviously. It's one of those songs where it's for everybody.
Yeah.
Right? I don't care if you're country, if you're hard rock, if you're rock, whatever you are. Blue on Black's a good song because it involves a lot of different artists as well.
Yeah.
It's not just Five Finger Death Punch. It's not just Ivan Moody. There's a lot of different players in there.
Yeah.
And so the reason I picked that song was because, and I think we kind of had this conversation last episode, was the country crossover and the festivals that are coming up. There's more crossover. You know, Hardy is doing a crossover. He did a rock star version, you know, of Nickelback song. It's not really Nickelback song, but it's called a rock star, and he references their song in there.
Sure.
Nickelback's crossing over into country this year. You've got Jelly Roll crossing over into rock. Yeah. So there's a lot of that crossover going on now. Five Finger Death Punch was one of the original people to do it from hard rock.
Do you think
reach over across the aisle and bring those guys to them?
So I just was having this conversation, and I know we said we were going to a hard spot, but I got to bring this up. I'm sure you saw, and I think I might have sent you, Beyonce went country,
mm-hmm.
and she became the number one country or song.
I think it's the first pop female artist to go number one with their first country song.
And
that makes sense.
Yeah, something along those lines. And in my only, you know, I was having this conversation with somebody who had posted the song and had, you know, were giving her flowers for it, right? I said, do you think it's really because country or the country artists have embraced the song and her, or is it that her fans are so big that by her doing this country song, her fans who are in the pop and rap and whatever genre all voted or listened to it enough times that it turned into the number one country song? So are the numbers skewed in that sense?
I'm going to answer your question with a question.
Shoot.
If Metallica
decided
to put out a country song
and
it was good, would it be number one? on the rock charts.
Are you telling me that you think Metallica is the number one?
I'm giving you an example. You know, if
I think it'd be close.
If the Foo Fighters put out a country song.
Yes, then yes.
Okay. I think it has less to do with it being country and more to do with the fan base.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I agree.
And I'll make my case by saying if Taylor Swift put out a hard rock song tomorrow, it would be number one.
That's what I'm
saying. Because of her fan base. It's not because of the song. It's because of the fan base.
So should we be giving these artists who are crossing over the kids say flowers, give them flowers, accolades.
I was wondering why you went down
there. Yeah, sorry.
Mister, I'm in my 30s and I'm still trying to hold on to my 20s.
All I'm saying is, is this something when we talk about crossover, are they actually bringing on these other groups of people that are in those genres and bringing over to their side? Or is it just their own fans that are already their fans pumping up those numbers within that genre?
Yes. So I'll answer
yes.
Just
okay.
Yes.
Okay.
And I'll give you an example.
Yeah.
And I've used this example on the podcast before.
Okay.
Nickelback has a huge following.
Yeah.
And I don't care if you say, I don't like Nickelback. You're full of shit because you listen to them.
Right.
Okay. Everybody knows certain songs from Nickelback.
Yeah.
Everybody knows Rockstar.
Yeah.
Right. If a song from Nickelback comes on the radio, you're going to sing it. If you're in your car by yourself and it comes on the radio, you don't turn the channel or you don't turn the station and you fucking sing it with them and you know every fucking word. I'm not wrong.
You probably
are. Okay. So when they go country, I think it's smart.
Yeah.
Because they're doing a lot of country stuff this year and they did their tour last year with Brantley Gilbert. I think it's smart because they're bringing in a new generation or a new crop of fans,
sure,
if you will. And as these guys get older, they're not going to be able to sing the heavy stuff.
Well, we did talk about that.
Right. So we've had this conversation. Yeah. So I think it's smart that somebody like Beyonce, which this is a rock podcast.
Yeah,
and
right.
Technically, if they're in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, we can talk about them.
Right.
Which she's going to be.
She's going to be.
I think her fans will support her, but I think she's trying to cross over so that she gains more of a following.
Sure.
Because if you get country market fans share that are listening to her song and then they listen to the rest of her music, it's all about streaming these days.
Yeah.
It's not about album sales. It's about streaming.
Right.
So now they go and stream her albums and they go, wow, she's pretty good. And pretty soon she's got a billion streams on whatever, you know, and so it's smart.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean it's good music, but let's just make that clear. Because a song goes number one doesn't mean it's good music. Wow. It just means it's popular.
I would agree.
I said what I said.
I see that. Is there any songs that you could think of that have been popular that you haven't liked?
I'm too sexy for me.
that's fair. You were alive when that came out.
Never gonna let you down. Never gonna give you up.
What? You don't like that song?
Come on. I'm just saying because it's popular doesn't make it good.
All right.
I mean, look, Nickelback's one of my favorite bands.
Yeah.
There's some songs that I cannot listen to.
All right. You know the words though.
And by the way, Rockstar's one of them.
No.
Yeah.
But you know the words.
I do.
Okay.
I do. Like I said, if I'm in my car and it's on, I'm going to hum it.
Okay.
But I don't necessarily like it.
All right. I'm good with that.
By the way, save this because I wanted to show you. Went to Blackstone Cherry, Sonia,
that's a good one. Sin.
And because we had we did the meet and greet, I got a signed poster from Santa Sonia, but on the merch table, that is their Blackstone Cherry's new album, Screaming at the Sky.
This is a really
signed,
cool photo.
Signed. Okay. That's really cool art. If you haven't seen the album cover
for
Blackstone Cherry's Screaming at the Sky, you got to see it. It's a really fucking cool album cover.
It is.
But it's signed by all the band members.
Oh, it's an actual album cover.
It's an album. No, there's an album in there.
Oh.
Yes. It's their album. How much do you think that was?
So signed.
Signed album cover vinyl.
All right. And so here's the thing. My assumption is it's not just a fake album in here. It's an actual album. Oh, you're going to take it out? Yeah. So what are they? The new ones go for 60, 80 bucks. So signed, you're probably looking at 120.
You are so far off.
No.
Yes, sir. Look at that.
200?
It's white. Look at that. White vinyl.
All right. Yeah. 200.
$25.
Shut the front door. You stole it? You stole it.
No. So, we're on the
There's
rail.
There's no way.
No. Here's the story. So, I'm on the we're on the rail for this thing, right? Front row. Yeah. On the rail. Because we had the meet and greets for San Antonio. So, we were able to get in
okay.
early. So, we're sitting there, and Bree's saving our spot. She's like, I want X shirt, so I go get it for her.
Yeah.
From San Antonio. It was a long sleeve. Pretty cool shirt.
Yeah.
I should have brought it down.
Wait, you kept the shirt?
No. Okay. So, I brought this back. Oh. I brought this back. It was and it was $25. She goes, that's really fucking cool. She goes, what'd you pay for that? $100? I go, no, I got it for 20. I didn't even finish the sentence. $25. I didn't finish coming out of my mouth. She turned around and went and got one.
She bumped you and just kept she going.
To pivot on her shoes and psh, gone. She went and got one. She goes, I can't believe this is $25. I'm like, well, believe it. We just paid $25 for each of these.
I hate to ask this because you just put it away, but how many songs are on there? Can you see? You got to open it. No.
I can go into my...
Because, you know, and this is, I don't know if we were having this conversation, but one of my buddies has got an old...
What's that number say? 12.
No way. Oh, so six aside. Okay, that makes sense.
What do you mean six? Oh, yeah, six aside. Yeah.
And that was my one thing is when we go to his house, we listen to albums. And so we just have to flip it every other time. And mm-hmm. sometimes you're just having a good conversation and then the
it just starts again.
And you're like, oh, all right. But yeah, it starts
$25. Dude, so I thought that was really, and it's signed.
No,
like, you can't buy signed shit for $25. You just can't ever.
Let alone.
You go to a concert. We're going to talk about this. You go to a concert. One of the things that I enjoy about going to a concert is all the little shit that you can buy from the band that's not your typical t-shirt or
right.
koozie or
I'm betting
hat.
They missed a one. I think that was supposed to be $125.
If it was, I got it for $25. But the thing that was really cool.
Yeah.
So their logo, this logo.
Familiar with
that, right? So it basically looks like an angry Pac-Man.
Yeah.
With a crown on it. And it's a cherry.
Cigar.
It's a
cherry.
But it looks like a Pac-Man with a cigar in his mouth. His name's Tony. I didn't know that. Right. I didn't know that. But they had a neon sign.
Of him?
Of that logo.
What was that? $26?
$500.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That was, I was like, okay, that makes sense. $25?
No.
These hats.
Yeah.
Worth $35.
I'm telling you right now.
And I got two of them.
That's why I'm like, is there even an album in there? Because $25 makes zero
sense to me.
You wouldn't
think so. Right.
Maybe it was supposed to be $75.
I don't know.
You know what?
It was $25.
You know what? Thank you very much. Appreciate it, guys. Oh, so back to the old.
Yeah.
I liked it.
So it's one of my favorite Five Finger Death Punch songs.
Yes.
I've seen them 3 times in concert. Not bragging.
No.
3 times. Now, that's a lot less than a lot of people have seen them. But I've seen them twice on their F8 tour, their Infinity. I call it their Infinity tour because the F8 looks like an infinity sign, so yeah. I call it the Infinity tour. And then I saw them mid-2000s, like 2007.
I want to say that's
maybe.
When I...
And that was the tour where they had the big skull up.
Yeah.
So... I don't remember. That was like Jekyll and Hyde.
Yeah. Type. Would you go again?
Oh, fuck yeah.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. I've been waiting for them to come. Now, they're coming to Chicago, but it's with Metallica, and the tickets were outrageous, and it was the 2-day deal. Right. So I wasn't going. And it's at Soldier Field, and that's a shit venue.
That's not
going
to be a good spot to listen.
Again, we're talking about venues. Yeah, venues. It's a shit venue. Like, what would you... So what we're going to talk about is if you had to put together a concert.
Hold on. We got to do some happy hour.
Get it out.
All right.
Get it out.
All right.
Let's go.
All right. So the first one we're going to do real quick, happy hour, is going to be the Nashville Barrel Company Seelbach Single Barrel. It is an 8-year, 111 proof pick. It's a single barrel. So it's a rye. You got to tell me what you think. These guys are out of Nashville, Tennessee.
What proof?
111. Cheers.
Yes, sir. Yeah, can't do that with plastic. So behind the curtain, inside baseball stuff is Ryan's a huge whiskey guy. Like, yeah. And you're an investment group with whiskey barrels and all that kind of
stuff.
Oh, yeah. So when Ryan's talking about whiskey, he's an expert. Like, you're as much of an expert as there's probably can be one.
Yeah.
Right? That's not like a, that's not your full-time job.
No,
right?
No.
So you're as much of an expert without being, it, you're being your full-time job.
Right.
Yeah. So when you talk about whiskey, you know what you're talking about. Now, what did we learn about smelling whiskey?
Open your mouth. Yeah, that's right. So this is,
get that full flavor in there.
This is their, just double check, their MGP rye that they get, which is a 95.5. MGP is Midwest grain product. They're from Indiana. So they, what is it called? Nashville Barrel Company is a contract distiller, meaning they don't necessarily distill the whiskey.
But they distribute it.
And they put their own label on it and then they distro it.
Okay, here we go. What do you think? It's 111 proof. 111. This is going to burn my ass. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wait a minute. There it is. I was waiting for the burn.
That's really good.
It is really good.
I really like that one.
Now, I haven't had whiskey. Wow. I haven't had whiskey since our last one. So my throat is not conditioned.
It's not raw enough
like
for
yours,
it.
Yeah, like yours. You're right, just burning the hell out of it
all
the time.
Yeah, it's gone.
So it's just down the gullet and it's no big deal.
Yep.
But for me, I'm a sensitive guy. I'm a sugary sensitive guy. So for me, it's a little different, but it's good.
Yeah.
It tastes good. Like, I'm not an expert by any means. I'm not barely a novice.
Yeah.
All right. Barely a beginner. I guess I'm a little past beginner since we've done so many of these.
Yeah, I would say so.
It's pretty good.
I always like when I go to sniff and I actually just smell the microphone instead of the whiskey because the microphone's in my face. Yeah. I'm like, oh, no.
Microphone smells like, I don't know. It smells like metal.
I'm glad I didn't spit that over the mic.
Right? Okay.
All right.
So let's get into this.
Venues.
So the reason I thought about this topic for a while.
Yeah.
I did 23 concerts last year.
Yeah.
Bree did
26.
Seven. 27. Yeah. You and I did a few together.
Yeah.
But I did a lot. And I've been to a lot of concerts over the years. And every time I go to a concert, there's things that bug me.
Yep.
So I'm like, let's take out the things that I don't think we should do at concerts.
Okay.
And they're very prevalent. And there's some things I think we should add in. Okay. It's going to take a little bit on the part of the artist.
Okay.
To be flexible.
Yeah.
The promoter to be flexible. The food service staff to be flexible. And the venue to be flexible. Right? Did I get all those?
Okay. Yeah.
So let's do it by small venue, mid-side venue, arena. Oh,
okay.
Arena and open air, like festival.
Okay, because I was going to ask if we were just going to try and do
I don't think you can put everybody in one box.
No, because that was going to be one of my one of my questions was, are we doing it by experience? Because if not, experience of where you're at. If not, then open air is just gone.
Some things just aren't. You're just not able to do some things at some venues. Like a small venue, you can't have certain things. You barely have a merch table sometimes.
Right.
Right.
When we did Citizen Soldier, that small one.
Right.
I mean.
Well, they're going to be at Bottom Lounge. So I think Bottom Lounge. So let me just say for people who look this up, go to Google, put in Bottom Lounge Chicago.
Yeah.
When you find that, look at the pictures. To me, that's the perfect venue for a intimate concert or an intimate show.
Bit of a small stage, but yes.
But there's not a bad seat in the house.
No.
There's no seats. But when I say that there's not a bad seat in the house, doesn't matter where you stand, you have a great view of the stage. Doesn't matter where you stand. Now, what I like about it is it's not right downtown in the city.
Right. Wicker Park.
Like Salt Shed is just a little closer to the city than I'd like.
It's aggressive.
But still, it's a great venue. So, and I would say that's probably a mid-size venue. But Bottom Lounge is a very, very intimate venue. But when you walk in, there's a bar, and it serves great food. To me, that's a plus. You got to have that. You got to have a place that serves not just hot dogs and popcorn and half-baked pizza and yeah. you know shitty food, but you got to have a place where you can go and you can get a burger or you can get a chicken sandwich or you can get whatever and you can have a meal. Because how many times you go to a concert and you're fucking hungry?
Or late, and then you're hungry, and right. then you're like, I can't stop anywhere.
And for whatever it's worth, let's say there's four bands.
Oh, God.
And you don't want to see the second one.
Yeah.
Now you're standing through the second one.
No matter what.
You know what I do? I go out and have a burger during the second show.
Yeah, right, right, right.
Right? Because you know it's going to be at least a half an hour, maybe 45 minutes. And so you go out and have something to eat. No disrespect to the band, but how often do you have four bands that are put together that are really good?
Or not, that you really not, like?
No, that you really like and that you want to see.
Right.
Because everybody's pretty good. So for me, I think the magic number is three.
Bands?
Three bands, regardless of the venue.
I agree.
Regardless of, unless you're doing a festival.
Well, it's different.
It doesn't matter if it's small venue, mid-sized venue, arena, or, and that's it, right? So the bigger ones, like the open air yeah. stuff and the festivals, you're going to have a lot of bands. So yeah. for those three, I think three is the number. Four is a little much.
Because you're there so long.
You're so long. And if you have floor seats and you're stand or you have general admission and you're standing,
it's a rough one.
And where it cinched it for me is we just went to this concert the other night. So Any Given Sin came on at, we had to get there for the meet and greet at 5:00.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So you go for the meet and greet. Now, I think there should be a meet and greet for every band. Not just one band, for every band. They should be able to do, each band should be able to do a meet and greet.
If they want to.
Well.
Or you just say they have to.
I think they should do one because it connects them with the fans.
One for all for one.
Yeah.
You got to pay for it though, right?
I get it. I get it. But how many times have you said, I've never met that band. I've never really gotten a chance to see them. I've never gotten a chance to know them. I've never gotten a chance to see them except on the stage. Mm-hmm. So I think every band should have a meet and greet. And maybe, and this is a wild thing, but
at every concert,
maybe they should have a thing where you meet all the bands.
Oh,
so they just have, it's kind of like, and I was thinking about this because you have the combine this week for the NFL.
Yeah.
Or media day. They have a bunch of different people in pockets, right? They have a guy at a lectern over here or at a microphone over here. What if you just had the three bands before the show? You pay to get in, one fee, all the bands, and you'd be able to go and take a picture with each band. Why not?
They're kind of like zoo animals at that point.
Yeah, maybe. But you get to go meet them. You get to take a picture with them. You have the merchandise. You can do whatever.
Yeah.
You can just, and that maybe there's a table that's out just for the meet and greet people. There's specific merchandise just, and it could be one t-shirt with all the bands on it, mm-hmm. like they did at, was it the Resurrection of Rock or Rock Resurrection with Skillet, Saint Asonia, and Adelita's Way? They had a shirt that was just with all three bands on it, specific to that tour. I think they should do that. They should put all three of those bands on a shirt, call it whatever you want, and then they have a specific merch table just for that tour. And you go meet all three bands.
Didn't they used to do this? I thought they used to do this like 2015 and below. I thought they
maybe
used to
they
do.
I don't know, but not every band does the meet and greet thing.
Okay,
like I know Nickelback doesn't, but I have tried to find Nickelback meet and greet stuff, and I can't find it anywhere.
I'm thinking of the Carnival of Madness when it was Papa Roach and Shinedown.
Well, Shinedown was on that tour for.
I forgot who the third one was. I apologize. I want to say Skillet, but.
No, when I saw the Carnival of Madness, it was Shinedown, Breaking Benjamin, and somebody else. I forget what the
was
third
it?
Band was. Yeah, when I saw it anyway. So let's start in the beginning. It doesn't matter if it's small, medium, or large venue.
Okay.
I would like to see a meet and greet with all the bands. I mean, how cool would that be? You get to go over there, you stand in that line, you stand in this line, whatever. You go, you get a picture with each of the bands, you get to meet with them, you can get certain merchandise.
I would love it.
That you can only get from the meet and greet, not the merch table that everybody gets from. Now, you might pay $200 for that meet and greet, but now you got three bands. So you divvy that money up. And now you're supporting the bands with more. The bands are getting more money.
Dollars, yeah.
Correct. And, yeah, they've got to do a little bit more up front before the concert, but so what? Who cares? You're making a little more money.
Right.
You're meeting the fans. The fans are connecting more with you. I think it's a great opportunity. So I would like to see that. I would like to limit it to three and limit the time in between. I know they have to tear down the other
set
one
up,
and set it up.
Right.
But how many times have they torn down, set up, and now you're still fucking standing there for 20 to 30 minutes so after they've done that?
Here's one of the problems you're going to have is everybody's rock star and they'll go on when they want to go on.
Yeah, well, that's bullshit.
I agree.
Because I'm standing there waiting for those fuckers to come out. And yeah, they come out, but you're in a pissy mood because you're like, where the fuck have you been for the last half an hour?
Mm-hmm.
And they did the sound check a half an hour ago. The last guy, the drum tech came out, the guitar tech came out. They moved everything off. They got the banner up there. The mood lights are on, and they're playing Metallica. Get the fuck out there. I'm not here to listen to Metallica.
Listen, they're finishing their beef sandwich in the back.
Whatever. But you've had all day to do that.
I agree.
Let's go. I got things to do.
All right.
Right?
Do you think the venue should give them a contract that says, here's what we expect? Because that's the only way, or we fine you.
Again,
that's the
when
only
I
way
said
you can do this
is going to take the artist
right,
and the venue and the food, this is going to take everybody kind of being on the same page.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
The promoter, whatever.
We're just going to say what would be ideal.
Now, granted, I know why they do some of the things that they do. I know why they drag out. Like we were at the Disturbed concert. It was plush. And then it went to Falling in Reverse, and then it went to Disturbed. There was a 45 fucking minute delay between Falling in Reverse and Disturbed.
Did they say what happened?
Yeah, it was only supposed to be a half an hour. Falling in Reverse was supposed to play for an hour. It only played for 45 minutes. I have no idea why they didn't. So it was either 45 minutes or an hour. Maybe Disturbed didn't come out until 9:15. I don't know. It was a long fucking time. Now, sure. I get why they do that. They're going to sell a lot more beer and food and everything else in that 45 minutes to an hour. And so the food service people love it, I'm sure. But I just fucking sat there for 45 minutes listening to the loudspeakers, shitty loudspeakers, by the way.
Of course.
And people watching. Now, people watching can be fun sometimes, right?
Yeah.
But after about 20 minutes, fucking bored of that shit.
Sure.
Let's go.
Sure.
Right? Like, it's a Tuesday night. I got shit to do tomorrow. Let's go. Because you're going to be up there for an hour and a half or whatever, and you're the third band.
Right.
Which is why I don't think there should be four bands.
So no matter what, whether it's small whether or intimate.
Small, medium, large, I don't care.
Three.
Let's go.
Three.
Come on. Let's go. Okay. Let's get a move on. Yeah, you switch your shit out. Let's go. Start the next one.
Sure.
Right? And I think we are trained monkeys. We the fans are trained monkeys. We have YouTube and we have TikTok and we have everything else where you just swipe to the next one, swipe to the next one, swipe to the next one. Everything is instant gratification. And I think that comment, my comment, is a byproduct of that.
So
it's
here's what I'm going to throw out as well. I'm going to add this to the list. Just like the NBA shouldn't have back-to-back games, artists shouldn't be able to sing at back-to-back concerts.
I agree. So when I do the recap review with Bree for that show, the one thing I'm going to talk about is the guy from Any Given Sin. He would go to sing a high note or a note that he would carry, and he couldn't do it because he had sung the night before. I think he cashed it. And when he came out, he was like, ah! And he was screaming. I think he cashed his voice. Now we were on the now. If you're in the back, you might not catch that.
Right.
We were on the front row.
Right.
We were on the rail. I saw every bit of that shit, and I was like, he can't sing tonight. Now, when he sang, like, chorus and shit like that, it was fine.
Right. He hit the notes.
Yeah. He sang Dynamite. It was great.
You know,
he couldn't carry the note.
One of the things that I've seen, whether it be, because I can only think of Shinedown, so I apologize, everybody.
It's all right.
But I've seen Brent switch from some of these high notes to the lower notes, but the band didn't continue to play what was on the record, what was originally supposed to be played.
They
note
switched
wise.
It up.
They lowered it so that it fit.
Came down an octave.
Yep. And I think every band needs to figure that out.
Or,
if you're going to be touring that much.
What I hate is when they can't sing it and then they put the mic out for the crowd to sing it.
Yeah.
You're like, fuck you. I am not here to hear everybody else out here sing. Yeah. I'm here to sing
you.
Just to hear you sing.
Right.
I want to hear you sing it. If you can't sing it, we should not even be doing back-to-backs or back-to-back-to-backs.
Right.
Okay? Which a lot of that tour was back-to-back-to-back.
Right.
So if you can't do it, don't do it.
Right.
Now, there are certain artists, there are certain lyricists, there are certain singers that can do it because their voice is like a rubber band. It just, whatever.
Yeah.
Some of these guys are not that guy.
What would you, so what do you think about 21 and younger shows? Because we've been to a few shows where little kids have been there. I mean, they've stopped one of the acts and brought a kid on stage because they didn't have a parent. So the whole thing, the whole show stopped.
I like when they did engage with the fans.
I do too.
I like it too. I like
it. Are we talking, we're good with under 21?
Yeah. Okay. I am. Right. I am. Because I think you got to raise your kids on rock and roll. Right?
So, yeah.
You got to raise them on rock and roll.
I'm good with that.
So so my point to that is it doesn't matter the venue. Like mm-hmm. the festivals, maybe they should do a lot of meet and greets too.
Sure.
I don't know. I'm going to leave the festivals out of this because
yeah,
it's hard
so.
To do
it's just too big.
What I'm talking about
yeah.
with the big arenas and the festivals. But if you have a small, medium, or large venue, I think multiple meet and greets, you should have the option to do one, two, three, whatever you want to do, all of them.
Sure.
Sure, let's do. Let's get all the bands. They should have food. And I'm not talking shitty food. They got to have good food. Let's get some good food, right? Because how many people go to a show and they're fucking hungry?
Too many.
Right? A lot. Now, keep the food in a certain area. I don't care. Like, we went to the Sylvie. They had liquor.
Yeah.
They didn't have food.
No food.
Right. They had food outside.
Right.
But maybe, or have like the rave. So the rave, when you go to Milwaukee, you go to the rave, they have an outside courtyard and they have food trucks there.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I love that idea. That's a great idea. But you got to have food there. Because otherwise, here's what happens. People drink a lot of liquor and they get stupid.
Yeah.
And then there's people bouncing into you and they're just being dumb fucks. And you're like, put some food in you. Okay, go get some food. Eat a burger. Eat
right.
a piece of chicken.
Anything.
Eat a taco. Something. Right? And we need it good. So, right. So we need food and we need good liquor. I mean, come on.
I agree, but there's also going to be a lot of people, especially at these no-name band places, some that we go to. I don't want to say no-name
band.
I'm
not talking hole in the walls. I'm talking like these are respectable venues.
Yeah, but I'm saying like when we've got some of these artists that aren't they're only doing the smaller venues, some of those places only have.
And they're not equipped for it.
Cheaper.
I get
yeah, cheaper
that.
Liquor.
Look, I get that.
Specifically
in liquor. And I get that. And right. they're making a lot of money on it. But maybe we shouldn't do those cheaper venues.
Oh, I
or you know what you're getting into, but I'm just talking about like some of these mainstream bands
yeah.
that you're going to see.
Yeah,
let's do it right.
Okay.
Okay.
Listen, I agree.
So let's not. Okay, so I'm just going to go through it again.
Yeah.
So meet and greets.
Yep.
No start bad. It at 7 o'clock. First of all, don't start it at 6:30. Don't start it at 6 o'clock. Don't start it at 8.
Yeah, I agree with this.
Start it at 7 o'clock.
I agree.
Okay. Play your full set.
Yeah.
Play your full set. And if you're on a tour to promote your new album, don't just sing one fucking song off your new album. Sing two right. or three. And I don't care if you're taking off some of the hits.
Yeah.
This is the tour that you're doing for your fucking album.
You're good with that.
Yeah.
Hold on. What percentage? Mm-hmm. Let's say they do 10 songs.
Mm-hmm.
What percentage need to be new?
Well, if they're a major band, they're going to do somewhere between 15 and 19 songs.
Oh, that's right.
Okay.
That's right. Okay. So let's say 15.
Okay, so if it's 15 songs, I expect three of them to be off their new album.
Oh, I would agree with that.
Okay.
Yeah, but isn't that the norm?
I don't know. Maybe. Not always.
When we saw Nickelback, I think they only had two.
They had two.
Yeah, I thought so. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well,
maybe three.
Honestly,
maybe. They might have had three.
We'll have to go back and look at that.
But anyway, so that should be a requirement.
Okay.
If you're going to promote your new album, play some fucking songs off your new album. Right?
Right.
Okay. So we have started on time, get the meet and greets beforehand, started on time. Let's get some decent food. Let's get some decent liquor.
Yeah.
Let's get it going between, there's only three.
Three, right.
And let's get it going in between them, right?
Yeah.
Have good merch. Don't cheap out. Get some good fucking merch.
Right. We talked about this. Not 100% cotton.
If you're
going to
have merch, don't buy. Oh, first, this was what pissed me off. I've been to some of these shows recently, and they have the same merch I can buy online.
Oh, yeah.
That's bullshit.
Yeah. I agree. Get some
specific
the tour.
For the concert.
Yeah.
Yes. And have the tour dates on the back.
I think the
if
dates
you're cheap
are the
out
thing.
Don't do that. Don't even fucking sell your merch.
Listen, it's
just
not
have
like
a website on the table and
it's not like they're putting the specific dates on there by hand, right? It is a screen printed shirt.
Yep.
There's no reason you can't have it on there. It's easy. Come on.
Yep. So, anyway, That I said my piece.
Okay.
Said my piece. Got anything to add? This is a short episode.
Oh, sorry. You know what?
Yeah.
No, I don't have anything to add. Sorry.
Okay. Next time, everybody.
Goodbye, guys.